There are three things I want to tell each of you this morning about the reading which Camilla's just read to us. And the first thing is that Christmas was long prepared for. Perhaps some people's mums or even their dads have been busy preparing for Christmas. Perhaps a little bit of shopping, perhaps making a Christmas pudding of some kind, putting it away in the cupboard. And we make lots of preparations for Christmas, but Christmas was long prepared for, as our reading reminds us. Come back in your mind's eye to the great city of Jerusalem. It's going to appear, I think, in a picture now. It was a magnificent place. Can you see it all up there? And the temple, that big building on the right, was where Zechariah went in. And that's a model, in fact, because now it's been ruined and destroyed since the Romans came in. It's still very grand, but not as grand as it was there. But it was very, very dark when Zechariah was alive. Dark spiritually. It seemed that God had forgotten them. But there was a promise for years and years that a light would begin to shine. The rising sun will come from heaven. And Luke, last week, as John Drake was telling us, said what had been accomplished at the time he was writing about Jesus and those who were just there before him. Now, it's really dark at the moment. We haven't had the longest day yet. And have you noticed, girls and boys, that it's often darkest just before dawn? Perhaps you're going on a long journey, and your mum or dad gets you up at sort of 5 a.m., and it's dark when you get in the car. It's so dark for the first couple of hours. It seems so dark, and then suddenly there's light. Well, the promise of God had lasted and been a promise that a light would come. The last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, he had said that the Son of Righteousness will come, like a bright light, but it's all so dark. And then Isaiah had promised about the glory of the Lord will be shown and revealed. Everybody will see it together. And Malachi, the prophet, 400 years before, that's the last time God's voice is heard, he said that I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah till that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Imagine it. No word from God for 400 years. It's a bit like a phone off the hook. Nothing could be heard. And anyway, Elijah goes in. There he was going to offer the incense, but then, we'll come back to it in a minute, but there he is, dressed up as a priest, going into that area just behind, in front of the curtain. There he is, Zechariah the priest. Then, 400 years. Have you ever used the phone, rung a friend or family? There's no answer. There's no voice at all. It's a bit like a phone off the hook. That's what people felt. God just wasn't answering or speaking. But suddenly, with Zechariah, what was promised was beginning to happen. The temple was so grand. And those who love God, as they looked at the temple, as they went to worship, thought, yes, one day a king is going to come. And we think there's going to be somebody like Elijah who's going to come, the greatest man who'd ever lived. And that was to be John, who was to herald the way, to warn people, tell people, get ready, the king is coming. And Zechariah's name, do you know what it means? Anybody here called Zechariah? Looking around? No? Will Monte? No? Not a middle name? No? Nobody else? Guy Lassinger, not your middle name? No? Suddenly, there was a light beginning to shine. And Zechariah, the name means in Hebrew, The Lord has remembered. He may have thought he'd forgotten the 400 years, but no, he's not forgotten his promise to you. So yes, Christmas was long prepared for, and now the button is pressed, and things are about to happen, which are so important. Second thing is that Christmas is God at work. It's God's work. He is doing what he came to do. Now, anybody recognize this person here in the picture? Not a fairy story. Who is that? Anybody know? Yes. Jack in the Beanstalk. Now, is that a true story? If you think it's a true story, put your hand up, please. One who just thinks it might be. In fact, I don't want to make you feel sad, but it's not a true story. It's a fun story. There's Jack climbing up the runner beans, trying to get up to where the treasure is. But what Dr. Luke is writing about is not a fairy story. It's true. It's true. Zachariah is a real person. He had a wife, an old lady at this stage, who was called Elizabeth. He was a real Old Testament priest. I saw a picture of him before, going in with the incense to offer it to God. And we're told, as was the custom, he'd been chosen by lot to do this duty. Now, I wonder, can anybody tell me how many men had the same job as Zechariah at that time? How many people might have been chosen by the lot, by the random choice, as it were? Who might have been chosen? How many people were they choosing between? Let's put a, see where we get to. Those who think there were 500, put your hand up. 10,000. 15,000. In Israel, there was 18,000 priests across the country who fulfilled that role, or could do. And I don't know what you've seen. Sometimes in London, there's loud trumpet blasts because a king is coming. Something important is occurring. And Zechariah, one day, he was going to offer the incense in the temple. And there was three loud trumpet blasts. And he goes up to offer the incense. And outside, the people of Israel gather to worship. And they're in what was called the court of Israel. There's a court of those who weren't from Israel, called the Gentiles, further away. And all the men and women and girls and boys gathered there. And they were praying. And Zechariah steps into the holy place, that big building we saw right at the start, to offer the incense. Before him, he saw a curtain, a really thick curtain, which is inches thick. It had people guarding the presence of God, as it were, drawn on it, the cherubim. It was lovely colors. It was scarlet, purple, blue, and gold. And that curtain said, look, there's no way you girls and boys, you men and women, can come to God. You've ignored him. You've gone your own way. It was a great no-entry sign. But then Zechariah goes in, and the incense was a symbol of prayer. And it was burnt, and it went up like prayer goes up to God. What was Zechariah praying for when he was in the temple? Anybody remember? I know he's done this in Sunday club as well. What was Zechariah praying for? Yes? Praying for a baby. Brilliant. He's praying for a son because he felt that they hadn't been blessed by God. They longed to have a son, but they hadn't had one all those years. And another thing they were doing when he offered the incense, there's a picture coming up about him offering the incense. We'll come to that one in a minute. There's the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel, there he is, the incense. And you see the smoke going up, symbolizing prayer. And whenever the priest went in, twice a day, guess what he was praying? That also the Messiah, the King, the promised King would come. You think for 400 years, different men had done that. It hadn't been answered. There's Zechariah going in. And suddenly, he gets a big fright because there's a messenger of God, an angel. And goodness me, he's paralyzed with fear. Anybody ever been frightened? Really frightened? I once or twice had big scares. I think some of the adults here have. One day, I was in a church in London, and I'd left my notebook at the front. I wanted to get it because I had to take a sad funeral leave that day. And I went in, right just near Oxford Circus, into the church. I got in for security. I came down under the basement church, ran the back, and went in. And as I went in, I knew my notebook was at the front. And as I walked down the aisle in the dark church, it was pitch black, I knew where it was. I suddenly heard a noise. What's that? So I wandered across at about 7 o'clock in the morning, perhaps a bit earlier, and I heard the noise again. I walked between where the seats were, and what happened? Suddenly, somebody grabbed my leg. It was a sad man who had hidden in church because he was cold in the winter. I tell you, I jumped in the air. I thought, there's nobody in church. What's that funny noise? And then there's a chap sleeping underneath the chairs. That really gave me a scare. That's one of my big scares I've had. And I had a sort of beating heart. Well, Zechariah was even more frightened because he thought, what's happening? God is speaking. He's revealing himself. And the angel says what the message is. He says, Zechariah, you're going to have a son. He's going to be called John. And he is going to be a person who is the second Elijah, who's coming to prepare the way for the King so long promised. Well, you know what Zechariah said? He said, I'm an old man. He said, my wife is very old as well. You know, she's actually on the Zimmer frame. She's quite in her 80s now. And he felt his body getting a bit old. His joints hurt as he'd gone up the temple that day, up the temple steps. But he wants to call him John. He said, I am an old man, says Zechariah. And suddenly the voice of the messenger says, I am Gabriel. Goodness me, that's the chief messenger of God. And it really made him sit up and wake up. How many people here are called John? There's John Bassett. There's another John there. Any other Johns? Middle names? John? Yeah, there's lots of Johns around. Anybody know what their name means? Jane, do you know what your husband's name means? I'm going to come and test you on your Bible verses at home one day, both of you. Right, it means God has been gracious. God has shown favor. And that's what the baby to be born was. He certainly been very gracious to Jane, giving her John anyway. But God has shown favor. He's shown kindness, being gracious. And you know, that man, Zechariah, is a bit like us, because we all sometimes doubt God, don't we? We don't believe his promises. And he was struck down in such a way that he couldn't speak. He just couldn't speak at all. And how different Zechariah was to his wife. Elizabeth believed and delighted by what she heard, but Zechariah doubted. I wanted to move on because also Christmas is serious. It's very serious indeed. You see, Zechariah has spoken out. I am an old man, he said. God can't do anything for me. And you know, it was a very appropriate punishment because he just couldn't speak. He couldn't hear. Imagine how that was. For 9 months, he couldn't speak or hear. And can you imagine? It seems so unlikely what's been promised. Can you imagine? There's Elizabeth going off to the Jerusalem hospital with her Zimmer frame. She arrives at the hospital reception. She says, "I'm here for maternity." "Oh, no, madam, you're not here for maternity. You're here for geriatrics." And it's down the corridor there to right. You can imagine the sort of scenario, can't you? What's going on? But the reminder here is that God expects to be listened to. Child be called John. God has been gracious. It's a wonderful thing that God is gracious. And the day when John was born, his tongue was unloosed. But something very strange happened, because imagine back in the temple, where he is trying to write out what's happened just before to another mother there with a child. And he's trying to say, "I'm waiting for a child who's going to be called John." But one of the things the priests did when they came out of the offering of the incense, they would use the blessing of Aaron. And that says this: "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Now imagine Zechariah, he comes out, puts hands like this to bless them. And imagine those words coming out. And all you hear is, nothing comes out of his mouth. And he goes home, aware that he's disobeyed and forgotten God's promise, not listened to God. And for 9 months, they wait. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? And John, the Lord will show favor, be gracious. He was the pointer to Jesus Christ, as we know later on. And God had made a promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth. The promise was that they'd have a child, a personal promise. A promise to Israel: your king is coming. And you know what it also points to? A promise not just to Israel, but to the whole world. Because John was saying, with the birth of Jesus, the favor of the Lord is going to be shown. Let's all ensure that we listen to God's promises. Listen to them very carefully this Christmas. Let's not be forgetful or disbelieve them, because God's word always comes true. And may we discover that for ourselves. And think about that story. Perhaps talk about it with your mums and dads over lunch, or with those you have lunch with. Great. Thank you.